news. Seven knife and hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and hell is.
Yo, 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 ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of 79th and Hallis, man. This is episode 218. You guys, Scott and Flo is back at here with you. Time for some free agency recap things to talk about, man. It's been a couple weeks since the last time we recorded. This is episode two of our 9 to 10 part offseason, a bunch of pods. I'm tongue tied right now. It's early as fuck in the morning. It's 11 o'clock on a Sunday. I sound like Doc Rivers. But we all here. Flo's, how's it going over there?
Well, it is 1 o'clock here. And yeah, I don't know. I am at a point where I don't feel like fans want, I think, some earth shattering things to happen soon. But I think right now we're kind of past that point. And I think right now it's just everything you're showing that you're going to see from teams is just kind of focusing on depth and, it's really just depth. And then when you get into the the draft is when you'll start to see more of the splashy things.
Yeah, I mean, there's still some decent names out there. There's a couple edge names out there. You know, you got a couple wide receivers. Of course, you know, you got your Odell Beckhams. There's a couple corners out there, but I definitely feel like we're past the big name splash phase of free agency, and we're now towards the team visit. Facility visit part of free agency, yeah. Which you can get a lot of good players in that part. And by the way, forgot to do the intro. You know, the follows on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, at Flo's Andolini. Follow 79th and Hallis on Twitter and at 79th AND Hallis. Follow the Barbershare Network on Twitter at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. And also visit the website, thebcnet.com, man. So yeah, I'm with you. Before we get into the actual signings, because the Bears made a lot of signings, I'm looking at the list right now. We've got about 9 new players. Well, they've got about 9 new players since the start of free agency. A couple big names in there. Let's just talk about the fan reaction before we get to the actual signings. Because, as you know, and it's not just Bears fans. I feel like we talk a lot about how Bears fans are emotional, but that's sports fans in general. But we really deal with it on a different basis because we are Bears fans and we only talk to really mainly Bears fans. Now, I still stand on the hill that Bears fans aren't the brightest of the football fan bunch. But what do you think about the initial reaction? Some people who just love every deal that Poles does and some people who probably aren't used to this new smart, taking it by case-by-case basis thing as opposed to Ryan Pace, who would just spend money just to be spending money. What do you think about the overall reaction so far?
I'm going to say that the reaction that I saw was kind of expected. Honestly, since I spend less and less time in Bears Twitter because it's just annoying. And it's not because it's that, I know so much more than these people. These people are idiots. No. It's just this useless bickering that I just don't care about. I don't care to bicker with you about what pick you think was good and what should have been done to it. It doesn't matter to me. Most important thing for me is, are the needs being addressed? And if not, it's not. But I can say for the Bears and their fans, what I think I've seen is a majority happy with these signings. A small, so it'd be like 80% happy with the signings. Then another 15% who are skeptical, who are cautious, who are, we'll see. I'm not going to give him praise. I'm probably within that 15%. And then there's a 5% who just hate it. Well, actually, we'll say it's 2.5% who hate it, 2.5% who thinks he's like the king. And, here comes Poles being a magician. And it's like, just calm down. And it's not because I don't think you should praise or criticize. It's just, I think with any situation, you need to let it evolve and see what it turns into before we crown or dethrone.
I agree with that. For me, I'm with you. I think the word you used on my show last week was, I don't be on Twitter like that, but I'm a Twitter lurker. You know what I'm saying? Like, I lurk Twitter more than I actually tweet and engage in conversations on Twitter. And even like with Bears Twitter, I don't be in through Bears Twitter. I just go through off what we see in our fucking mentions. It's like, you know, and we appreciate all the conversation and the mentions. I'm not going to say like we don't appreciate the feedback. I remember when we first started Twitter, wasn't nobody fucking commenting on the shit. Like, it was just, we'll tweet it and there'll be no fucking reaction. Now it's like a shit ton of reaction. And, you know, like you said, I do feel like it is a great percentage. We don't want some of the people who are just negative all the time to overshadow the actual, you know, positive events. And I do think it's been 75 to 80% positive. But, you know, the ones who aren't, they stick out more. And then, you know, we have these little back and forths on Twitter. My personal opinion about it is one thing I've learned from one calendar year with Ryan Poles as general manager, he's going to go off best fit. I mean, go off best player more than best fit. Now, I know that's driving a lot of Bears fans crazy because they're like, what about the trenches? What about the trenches? What about the defensive line? What about the defensive line? And I'm with that 100%. And I still don't think this is going to be the line come week one in September. I think what Ryan Poles is going to do is he's going to build the trenches up from the draft. Even if you pay attention to some of these signings, which we're going to break down in a minute, all these are not long-term deals. These are people who I think he wants to grow with Justin Fields so that when he does hit his prime or whatever, these guys have grown with him. And even if you look at some of the big names out there right now, of course, you know, there's definitely some names that guys would have wanted, the Draymond Jones and things of that nature. You got to trust the player evaluation of your general manager. And whether we agree with it or not, he might think that this is not a long-term fit. And one thing that I think Bears fans also expected was just because the Bears had the most money in free agency, and this is something that both of us cautioned on the last episode. Yeah. We said, don't come out here thinking they're just going to spend every dollar right away. Just because you have to reach a certain floor, that doesn't mean that you can't have extensions and things of that nature. And
true.
There was some big signings, but a lot of people, I think one thing that people really got mad about was them not getting Orlando Brown Jr. I forgot the name of the defensive tackle who left Philly and went to, I think he went to Denver. He went to the Chiefs. Something like that. His name escaped me right now, but a lot of them were upset about that. And it's just like, man, you got to look at just this team has so many fucking holes. And I think that's one thing that if you really watched the Bears last year, and not a lot of national media did, and I understand, if we weren't Bears fans, if we weren't covering the team, I wouldn't have watched the Bears the way that we watched them last year. There's so many holes in this team where I feel like he addressed a lot of needs. And my overall reaction to the first 2 weeks of free agency, I've been pleased with what I've seen. I've been overall pleased. And so, you know, pretty much, I just think it's something where Flo's be back in a minute. But I just think it's something where we need to let the man do his job. And I'm not somebody who is going to praise general managers for doing shit that they're supposed to do. To me, it's like praising a father for taking care of his kids. That's some shit you're just supposed to fucking do. But you can't be out here saying, trust the process, you know, long-term game, and then get mad when the general manager doesn't do what you want him to do. Now, that doesn't mean that this process that Ryan Poles has is going to work. No, that doesn't mean that. It might not work. But I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt to at least see this thing out. For everybody compared it to last year's free agency, he's doing the same shit he did last year. Last year was an intentional tank. And anybody, you know, Ray Charles could have saw that. It was an intentional tank. Like, you can't really believe that this man actually, no disrespect to these players, signed N'Keal Harry or signed of Dante Pettis, like, you know what, this is going to get my bright quarterback in the right position. And we even know that even more when that big article that came out this week on Sports Illustrated about Ryan Poles and Justin Fields. Well, Ryan Poles brought Justin Fields in the draft room last season before the draft in Vegas. Remember, everybody was like, why the fuck he take a corner and a safety with his first two picks? He showed Justin the plan, was like, look, this is eventually going to lead to what I'm going to do to get you wide receivers. So, you know, I have no problem. You know, you criticize what you want to do. And, you know, Chicago sports haven't had the best general managers, obviously, as we've seen, if you're a White Sox fan, with Rick Hahn, even though with the Rick Hahn and even the AKs with the Bulls and the White Sox, that's more of the owner not letting them spend money thing, more than me just thinking they're bad general managers. I can't really tell you how good or bad, Mark Eversley, Arturis Condisola, or Rick Hahn are, because they have a budget that they can only spend a certain amount of money. So I don't fucking know. With this situation, the Bears historically have never really been a cheap organization, at least in the last 10 years. They were definitely cheap in the 80s. Yeah. They could have kept a lot of a lot of players, and they could have actually won a couple more championships. But in the recent years, this team has not been cheap. So I just overall like what I've seen so far. I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic. Yeah, man. And later on, I want to get into, it's not on the rundown, I want to get into the new landscape of the NFC North. Last time we were here, Aaron Rodgers was still Green Bay Packer. And yes, he's technically still Green Bay Packer. They're doing a staring contest to see if who's going to give up the most to get him, but he's going to be a Jet. It's just a matter of what time the actual trade goes down. So we'll get into a more of an NFC North landscape. We talked about it. I'm not going to hold you, but we had some internet problems, so we're going to talk about it more here. But let's get into the actual move. So pretty much I'm going to name all the signings, and then I think we're going to pick over which ones we like the most. So first off, the Bears actually made the first signing of free agency.
Well, before you do that, I do want to go back to the point about how the Bears have not been cheap recently. And I want to say I agree wholeheartedly. I don't think being cheap was the Bears' issue in the past
10 years.
10 years, really.
I think when they first signed, when they signed Julius Peppers, that's when they started spending money.
Yeah, it's they will sign players and use money. The issue that we had was, who are these niggas? You know what I'm saying? You're signing people who were okay with the teams they had, and then they're the big splash player. Who did the Bears sign that had a breakout year? With the Titans? I can't remember who the Bears free agent signed. He had a breakout year. He had like 7 sacks, which would have been the most sacks on the entire team.
That's who they signed this year, DeMarcus Walker.
Yeah, DeMarcus Walker would have been the splash signing years ago. He would have been overpaid, and then
he
would
got like $50 million.
Exactly, and then it would just been mid underneath him. Now it's, oh, that's a good signing, but he's not the central focus of your signing. He's not the central focus of your move. The central focus of your move was getting all those picks for the first one, and then getting DJ Moore. That's a big splash, and it's ironic because I went on Madden yesterday, downloaded the newest roster. You know what I'm saying? I traded Aaron Rodgers out the division, put him into the Jets like he's supposed to be, and I looked up and I said, wow, this is an entirely new Bears team. The only thing that I think they have to focus on now is that line. But even looking at the first four receivers that the Bears had, according to Madden, this is their ratings, not mine. It was DJ Moore, it was Darnell Mooney, Chase Claypool, and then Velus Jones was the last, and they still had...
They had him over EQ?
EQ was right underneath him. And then it was Dante Pettis, and I'm sure Dante will stay around for special teams. I don't know what the... I'm not having focused on what has happened to him, but I realize now, yeah, those were... This is a much better constructed roster than the year before. Not having as many picks for that year because they traded for Justin Fields, which, once again, 100% worth it. The same thing with the Panthers. You do what you do.
Bottom picks for Khalil Mack trade, too. That's why we didn't have a – which I still don't regret. I don't care. I had an argument with this with our homie Pavy the other day. He said it was a wasted draft. Like, no, what? No, I still – you. The Khalil Mack was because you thought that Mitch was going to progress. So I had no problem with the Khalil Mack deal.
Yeah, no. It's even we thought Khalil Mack was going to be the player that, you know, that was it. Put him on the edge. But that's not necessarily the case. That wasn't the case. But for the Panthers, once again, as we said, you do what you got to do when you need to get your franchise quarterback. Same with Justin Fields. And so now they have all these. So now when they focused on getting 2 stout defensive backs, don't know what's going to happen with Doug Kramer. Doug Kramer is the center. Who knows? I have no clue what the future will hold for him. But you got Braxton Jones, who was the starter for the year. So they had some good picks, but their focus was there's a lot of holes to fill. We can't give you all of the talent you want to receive real quick. We're going to build through there. Now you got Chase Claypool as your second or third option. You got DJ Moore, who's the bona fide first option. And now I think you're starting to see that it's time to build. And they've been spending. So it just now it seems like they're spending in the right
direction. It's smart spending. Like I thought Danny Trevathan was a great signing, but you know the Bears are still paying Danny Trevathan. And that just that just shows you just how much Paul Pace was like, fuck it. And I do think Trevathan was a good guy for the first couple years before he started getting hurt. Like, I think the first 3 years of that contract, he was really, really good. But they're still fucking paying him right now. But let's go over these signings. The Bears actually had the first signing of free agency, period. They started off with signing former Philadelphia Eagles linebacker T.J. Edwards for 3 years, $19.5 million. He's actually from the Chicago area. He said he was ecstatic to join this team. You know, I know that I'm getting older because he said one of his first moments as a Bears fan was when he went to the Super Bowl. And by the way, I'm tired of Bears fans saying, oh, my favorite moment was the Devin Hester kick. Why? Do you not remember what else happened that evening? Like, yeah, if we ended that game at halftime, would have been the greatest night of my life. I can't separate the two. Every time I think about that kick, I think about how I was crying like Mario Winans in the tub by the end of the fucking night. But
I don't know.
But TJ Edwards, then after that, they signed guard Nate Davis. He was formerly with the Tennessee Titans for 3 years, $30 million, $19 million guaranteed. And then this one was one of my favorites because I didn't predict this on the last podcast, but we had our wish list, and this man was on the top of my wish list. I didn't think they were going to actually get him, but they got him. The big, big splashy signing was getting linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, formerly of the Buffalo Bills, for 4 years, $72 million, $50 million guaranteed. He is your new Mike linebacker. Then they signed like guy we
also just for those who don't know football, just a quick little brief lesson for you. You have a weak side linebacker, you have a strong side linebacker, you have a middle linebacker, and a 4-3 setup. Four meaning four down linemen, three linebackers. Your Mike is your middle, aka yes. M, aka Mike. Your Sam is your strong side linebacker, S Sam. Your Will is your weak side linebacker. So just let you know.
I'm you glad might you have too, you might, some people don't know that.
You might have ILB inside linebacker, but just right. If you're playing a game like Madden, you're just going to see right and left and interior. So just thought I'd check.
Definitely. Next one was a guy we just mentioned, defensive end DeMarcus Walker from the Tennessee Titans. 3 years, $21 million, $16 million guaranteed. Like we just said, he has 7 sacks last season. That would have been the most sacks for the Bears last year. Of course, the Bears' leading sacker was their fucking rookie safety, Jaquan Brisker, with 4. Which is a goddamn shame. And one thing I loved about this was in his press conference, for everybody who said, no, we won't play with Justin Fields, they asked him, I think it was my man Patsy, I think he asked him, did the quarterback have anything to do with your signing? He said, excuse my French, but absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, players know what it is with Justin. So the next one, running back Travis Homer from the Seattle Seahawks, 2 years, $4.5 million. This one, a very stealth signing I really, really love. Backup quarterback P.J. Walker, 2-year deal, $4 million. Trevor Siemian was released, so he is the official backup quarterback to Justin Style, which doesn't have to really depot too much, and he has a lot of chemistry with D.J. Moore. Then the next one, defensive tackle Andrew Billings, used to play with the Las Vegas Raiders, 1 year, $3.5 million. Another real signing I really, really like. Tight end from the Green Bay Packers, Robert Tonyan, 1 year deal, $2.6 million. He was Aaron Rodgers' end zone threat for the last 3 seasons. He had a really good year. And this one, this guy, I was like, a lot of people were upset when David Montgomery didn't re-sign, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but this is a really another good stealth signing. Running back Deontay Foreman from the Carolina Panthers, 1 year deal, $2 million. He actually had more rushing yards and more touchdowns than Demo last year. And then the final one, this is just like a depth. Special team signing linebacker Dylan Cole, used to play with the Seattle Seahawks, 1 year deal. What is your favorite out of this deal? Out of these signings?
I liked it. It's interesting because now you have to wonder what are they going to do with TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds, because Tremaine is really your weak side linebacker and TJ Edwards is more of your middle linebacker. But I don't know.
But Tremaine said in his press conference he's going to be a middle.
Yeah, and I feel like I've seen on the Bears' Instagram the man in the middle every time they talk about Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah, he's going to be middle.
That will switch him to the middle linebacker, and that will switch probably TJ Edwards as I'm going to guess a strong side linebacker, and probably fill out with Sanborn as your weak side linebacker, which I'm expecting very good things from Sanborn.
Yeah, that's going to
be good. I think Sanborn is more of a middle. We'll see. But all of their signings are good. Like I'm just going over them myself and seeing you know, what they have, but knowing that you got someone like Nate Davis, which I thought someone like Nate Davis really started to come alive. Last year was his last year of his rookie contract, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And he started to really come alive. And I think his best year as a pro was last year. And when you look at the Bears rushing attack, a lot of it will seem like the Bears have a great running offensive line. They did run, have better protection running the ball. I will say that. But a lot of it is Justin scrambled and gave you 1,000 yards on the ground. Yeah. And it really had nothing to do with the holes you opened up. More so had to do with the play being broken down. But I do think Nate Davis will come. Tremaine Edmonds, I mean, the dude is two-time Pro Bowler. I think one of the best at his position. He's constantly near the ball. He's a big freaking dude. He's 6'5", which is just an enormous linebacker. I think he's going to do great. DeMarcus Walker leading the Bears in the sacks coming in. It is funny because when you look at articles, it was like DeMarcus Walker is filling a hole that unfortunately Jaquan Briscoe filled, which was being the leading sacker on the team.
Yeah.
I like Travis Homer because I'm pretty sure he's just going to be the third running back, special teamer. PJ Walker, of course, that's just a great fit. And I think what's the biggest thing you see now is the Bears aren't signing just who's the hottest. The Bears are signing who fits them. One of the worst things I disliked about Ryan Pace's tenure, and once again, him and Nagy, I have nothing against them as people. I thought I had some really solid interactions personally when I spoke with them, even just like being at games and having them sitting behind and I say, how you doing, Ryan? Always amicable, always peaceful. But his strategy.
Ryan Case is one of the first dudes I met in my first game. He was actually kind of nice to me.
So I have nothing against him. Yeah. And I think that's the difference between those who cover the team and fans, as fans tend to get personal. And I'm like, they're just people doing their jobs.
Get a beer with Matt Nagy.
Exactly. Easily. I thought I had some of my best personal conversations with Matt Nagy. You know, outside of questions, just hearing his excitement for, you know, what's going on. Hey, Matt, how you doing? Hey, how's it going, Joe? Just really, really simple. I never had an issue with him. But what I didn't like about Ryan Poles' professional strategy was the best player available. I don't subscribe to that. So if you're looking at an NFL draft board, you're coming in at the 9th pick with the Bears. And let's just say by some miracle, by some destructive, not even a miracle, it wouldn't really matter for the Bears, but some anomaly, you have C.J. Stroud left, you have Jalen Carter left, you have Jordan Addison left. The best player possible on that out of all of them is C.J. Stroud. Would you pick him if he was the best player available? No. And then next you have Jalen Carter and Jordan Addison. Now, individual achievement, I probably say Jordan Addison is the best individual achievement because he had a fantastic year. He would technically be your best player available, especially with all the crap Jalen Carter went through. Are you going to pick him if you had Jalen Carter available? No, you're going to pick Jalen Carter because I think the best strategy for picking a player is picking what fits your needs.
So you don't think that Ryan Poles has best player available?
Oh, no. I'm saying this is what I disagree with about Ryan Pace.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I disagree with his best player available. What fits? So if you had generational quarterback and C.J. Stroud, let's say Bryce Young was left, you had –
No, I get that. I'm just saying some people say that Ryan Poles be like best player available. That's why he didn't take a receiver last year.
I didn't see him him doing that. I'm seeing him feel a need, you know, especially because I'm pretty sure you had Pickens there, and Pickens would have been the best player available for that first pick.
Our receiver was also a need too, though.
And it was a need, but
so was corner though.
Exactly. He prioritized the need he wanted to fill first. Yeah, when you come into that season last year and you have so many holes available, the only thing you can do is prioritize what you want to prioritize. He probably felt this heart, okay, I'm going to get a good cornerback and I'm going to get a good safety because we're terrible at this spot. I won't be able to focus on wide receiver. I may get a gadget player, but I'm going to focus on the defensive backfield. He got Jaquan Brisker. He got Kyler Gordon, and then he got, of course, Velus Jones as that gadget player. I thought it was perfectly fine. Velus Jones might end up being another gadget player. He might just be a special teams career. I don't know. But I do like the fact that he focused on what he needed. And so with Ryan Poles, I think his strategy of getting the player that they need with the need that they chose is the best possible way to organize it.
I'm with that. I think that, you know, really just how, to me, the signings, to me, of course, my favorite, obviously, is Tremaine Edmonds because that's the one I said I wanted on the last podcast. But, man, I really, really like the Robert Tonyan signing. I really, really like that. And the reason I really, really like that is because Cole Kmet finally had a breakout season last year.
He was really good last year.
Really, really good last year.
Shout out to Cole Kmet on Madden. I threw 5 touchdowns to him yesterday.
Him and Justin.
I was playing because I was going back to last season, and I was playing the Chiefs. Not the Chiefs, the Niners beat the shit out the Niners, and I'm gonna say beat the shit. I won by 14, but for some reason he was always open, so I just kept throwing to him in the end zone. I'm predicting Justin Fields 5 touchdowns his first game.
What
just based off my Madden game, I don't care who they're playing. 5 touchdowns.
And that's one thing too. And of course, we're getting to the NFC North in a minute, but I think people really underestimating just how much a good quarterback can cover up other holes. And if Justin takes that next leap, which I fully expect him to, because like I try to explain to people who don't watch Bears football, no disrespect to these men. I gotta keep saying that because we work with them, we work around them. No disrespect. They're athletes, they're great, all that. These dudes are not NFL caliber wide receivers that Justin Fields was playing with last year. No. He was throwing like his first two. I was at the monsoon game, the first game of the season, and he threw two tutties to EQ and fucking Dante Pettis. You know what I'm saying? Automatically get better with the guys he has now. And like we both said multiple times last year, I don't hate EQ. I think EQ is a good 4th or 5 option. You know what I'm saying? I think he's
a lot of us who want to
better.
Yeah,
this year. Go ahead.
There's a lot of us who wanted to who are happy that he's still here and think he will, you know, our shine is probably 340 yards receiving, but we'll find much more success the fact that he doesn't have to be in a bigger role.
He's not your number one or your number two.
Yeah.
Or your three.
He's your 4, your 5.
Yeah. And to get back to the Cole Kmet thing, it's like I think we really slowly started seeing chemistry between Cole and Justin towards the end of Justin's rookie year. And we was at the Pittsburgh Monday night game where they almost won the game. Until the defense gave up the draws on the last drive. And remember, I don't know if you remember, there was like a mic'd up video they had, and they were on the sideline working and walking off the field. They took the loss, and Cole told him, "We're going to get this one day, bro. We're going to get it." Yeah. And last year, the chemistry, we all know that Justin trusts Darnell Mooney with his life. But I feel like he's really, really starting to get that chemistry with Cole Kmet.
He had plenty of fucking Darnell down there plays last year.
Right, fucking Darnell down there somewhere. And I think there's going to be a lot of fucking DJ down there somewhere.
Yeah.
And one thing you see is, like, Justin is, you know, with these options he has, and Robert Tonyan is going to complement Cole Kmet so well. Because now you got a guy who's just as big but faster. We all know Cole Kmet run like he got cement in the shoes. Tonyan is faster. And now you can run a 2 tight end set in the end zone.
Yeah.
And it's going to just give so many options. And honestly, everybody's like, he's a running back. To my Justin. Justin's going to be even more deadlier now on his feet because he have niggas he can throw to. So there's like so many different options here. And I really love the Tonyan signing. I love the Foreman signing because I really feel like it's going to be running back by committee. And you've got a guy in Foreman who can give you the same things that Demo gave you, but faster. How many times we saw last year with Demo, it was hard for him to break certain tackles. Look like he's fighting just to get 3 yards. Now, a lot of that to do also with the offensive line, but I really, really love these little depth signings that we're seeing here that are helping. They're going to help more, and I think Bears fans are going to love more once the season starts more than anything. As we've seen from these first 2 years, Justin's probably going to miss 2 or 3 games a year. That's just probably what it's going to be. And I feel very confident in a guy like P.J. Walker, as we saw how he played last year and kept Carolina. Now, granted, NFC now South is god-awful, but kept Carolina in that NFC South race to the last couple weeks. And I think these are just going to be great signs. And I really, really love what Ryan Poles has done so far. And I do think there's a lot more to get. As we see, the Bears still have the number one most money left in the offseason spend with $37 million left. They actually far and beyond number one. Now, there's a couple guys. The guys who I don't know how to pronounce my man's name, but Yannick. Nicole, I don't know how to pronounce my name. My man's Edge.
He's close.
You know how to play. Well, he played for the Raiders. I would love to see him. I think we need to get more guys. There's going to be more free agent signings. The Bears have to spend some more money. But as we just talked about approach, what do you think his approach is going to be for the rest of the offseason? Now, we do know we're officially in draft season. We're officially, by the time y'all hear this, we'll be literally 30 days away from the NFL draft. What do you think his approach is going to be to try to fill some more spots because he's got to sign some more guys?
Well, when I look at Donta Freeman and Khalil Herbert and Travis Homer, I don't know which way to say it. I think that's a position I wouldn't put too much stock into fill. I like Donta Freeman because it's Freeman, right? That's his last name. Donta Foreman, because he runs between the tackles. He's a tough runner. He takes contact. He looks for contact. He's great when it comes to the screen game. He loves to follow his blocker as well. He fights for extra yards, whereas I think Khalil Herbert isn't as physical as he is. But I know in the open field, Khalil Herbert is very explosive, and I think they're going to complement him well. And Travis Homer is probably just good to fill in when you need to put your third running back in there. So I think running back it's running back by committee, and I think it's satisfactory. It's a satisfactory committee that I don't think I would put big stock unless you just had an alley and opening and you say, oh, we can get this person. Tight end, I think tight end is secure and just it's not a position you need to fill. Wide receiver, of course, you still have – I don't think there's any – we're talking free agency. There's nothing. There's nothing else you need to look for. I mean, we've seen the signings. We've seen who came after DJ Moore. Who is the next biggest receiver signed after DJ Moore?
Who is the what?
Who is the next biggest receiver signed after DJ Moore? Shout out to seeing the bottom of your computer. But
there really wasn't too many. I mean, Odell's still waiting to be signed.
That boy ain't getting signed. I hope he knows.
He's going to get signed, but he's not going to get the money he want to get. Mecole Hardman just got signed by the Jets. Mm-hmm. Alan Lazard, like it was really like a real mediocre wide receiver. That's why Ryan Poles went to go trade. It was real, real mediocre. I think the biggest name was actually Trey. Elijah Moore got traded from the Jets right. to the Browns because they signed Mecole Hardman. So yeah, like DJ Moore was the only one was the biggest name out there and really wasn't even out there.
Yeah, and I think the biggest positions that you need to say, you got that lineman. I don't think there's no hurry. Lineman is probably going to be filled in the draft. And I know it's going to be filled in the draft. Quarterback obviously is filled. Now flipping to the defensive side, defensive line, you still need to focus on the defensive line. The biggest position that the Bears have to fill right now is defensive line, then offensive line.
Yeah, those are in general.
That it's just the trenches. You have to fill those.
Marcus Spears said, it's all about the trenches.
Telling you, the greatest teams have the best trenches. You know what I mean? The greatest teams have the best trenches. Eagles had it. Chiefs had it. You really need those to really make it successful.
And by the way, when you bring the Eagles and Chiefs, I had somebody try to argue me on Twitter when I said, Poles told y'all he's going to build through the draft. Well, that doesn't mean no builds through the draft anymore. That's GM speak. And I was like, the Eagles and the Chiefs literally built through the draft. Like, that doesn't mean you don't sign anybody. The Bears did sign people. Like,
I think we talked about that on your show. I said I think it's just really stupid to say people don't build through the draft because, honestly, I don't know where that type of thought comes from. You know, what do you mean people don't build through the draft? Like, does that mean your most impact players don't come through the draft? Because if that's what you're trying to say.
Everybody on the Eagles was drafted except for A.J. Brown.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's a smart thing to say. And on top of that – unfortunately, human beings were so easy to do generalizations. And with those generalizations or axioms or
college word.
I can't think of the other word. I use it. can't think of the other word. But these generalizations or anything that we think contains this, it's just a truth to it. Or it's just, this is the way it is. I think when you do that, you fail or... you fail to understand the subjectivity of life and how we form our opinions. So if you say, oh, that isn't true, this is just coach speech, you're saying this is an axiom. This is self-evident that it's true. The problem is, or a generalization that based upon your empirical experiment that you think that this is the way it is. The problem is, coach speech to you isn't coach speech to someone else. Yeah. And what makes this coach speech over what makes this coach speech? I think some things have more objectivity to it, like when you saw Nagy and Poles, collaboration. We need to find the whys. This is just you trying to get the interview over because what does that even mean? It's just a word salad. And then there's different where you're talking about we're going to build through the draft. Because that seems like a pretty reasonable avenue to build. You know, building through free agency costs a lot of money.
And it's stupid.
And on top of that, remember, these NFL teams, all 32 of them, are like mini corporations. I mean, mini corporations. They're bigger than most corporations in the world. billion-dollar teams, and they're going to do what all corporations do. What do big corporations do? You want to put out the best possible product for the least amount of money. You know what I'm saying? We talk about why, you know, like cars now these days. A lot of people said, oh, man, cars are built cheaply. Oh, they're not the same as what they were back in the day. Yeah, back in the day, it was a lot more stainless steel in the car. Now it's a lot more aluminum, if I'm okay. Car enthusiasts, please correct me, because it's cheaper to make. It's cheaper to make. Also, that's a lot safer. Now, of course, they may not last as long as other cars does. Like, there's a lot of cars from the 70s, 80s that are still on the road right now. But at the same time, it's cheaper to make. You still good to make a good product. So if you're a general manager, you're an owner of a team, you want to build a Super Bowl caliber team, are you just going to spend a hell of a lot of money to make your team? Or are you going to say, you know what, let me take my time and build through the draft. I'll pay a lot less money. It'll take longer. But when I get to this apex of this climax where I want this team to be, I know I will have still put out a great possible product for less money. And this less money can go into really other things. Because, I mean, when you spend money, you have to pay the scouts. You have to pay the people who work with the team. You have to pay your media. You have to pay all these little things. And the more that you spend, the more it constrains the budget. Yes, there is money laying around specifically for signing players. But when you put effort into that, it just costs more and more money. But if you go through the draft, going to save money because most of them are going to be signed to these rookie deals.
And there's no rush for anything. Like, even if you look at these deals, like, these are not like, you know, a real lot of damn money that's going to hold you back. And if Justin is a quarterback that we expected him to be, he's going to get a big fucking deal in like 3-4 years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to get a big fucking deal. So you're going to want flexibility around your roster for when you have to pay Justin.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're not here to be calling people idiots. And so I know I do that on Twitter. Like, y'all be pissing me the fuck off. But like, I just want y'all to think sometimes. When I'm saying build through the draft, we're not saying just build through draft, none else. This guy, he's filled different needs through trades. He got you a number one wide receiver. He got you, he refilled the linebacking core. You know what I'm saying? So it's different stuff like that. Like, we just need to pay attention to him, man. But
yeah, and it's as fans, like, when I log onto Twitter, the first thing I see is pretty much an argument. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You know what I'm saying? One of our homies, who was it that had a birthday recently and tweeted about, oh, man, when I turned 30, everything became just clearer.
Oh, that's the homie Van.
Van said, you know, I could turn 30, everything became clearer. I was like, yeah, a switch just comes off of you. Like, holy crap. And I wonder if it's just you're getting older and you're like, it's just not worth it. I have something better to do with my time.
But I also think is we also, like, we're fans, but we're also in the media now.
I'm saying in general, because even when I was in the media.
You're just talking about just regular arguments in general.
Yeah, I started in 2020 covering the Bears during the pandemic season. I wasn't 30 yet, and I still had plenty of time to argue. Then it seems once I got 30, I started to say, I don't really care anymore. I don't have time for this. And so I look at Bears Twitter. Bears Twitter does a lot of fighting. A lot of this is dumb. This is stupid. And it's like, do you really want to spend your time fighting over this, or do you just want to see the moves play out? And I approach that towards – and that view started to shape toward the end of Mr. Biscay's tenure with the Bears. I was like, it's clear he's just trash. And I liked Mr. Biscay. Of course, you know, I wanted to hold out hope. Every time he had a good game out of 20, I was like, yeah, nigga, my boy, he going to be cool. And then you realize, that nigga stinks. And so I was okay with realizing, you may not be good. It's the same with Justin Fields. When Justin Fields had his struggles to begin last season, you know, I got into an argument with my friends Tony, and Tony's like, oh, this nigga trash. And I got defensive. I was like, man, that nigga ain't trash, nigga. You trash. And I was like, does this even make sense? Why am I doing this? And I realized, man, he may be. We may just look somewhere else. And of course, Justin went on that tear. And he became the quarterback that week. He started to begin the path toward becoming the quarterback that we
hope. To becoming the quarterback we think he can be.
Exactly. And so understanding that, I think it's just better for us as journalists in the media, and also for us as fans. Just sit back and wait. Do we need to argue? I mean, I only follow Bears Twitter because it's Bears Twitter. I have friends who are Eagles fans. I think the second biggest I follow was Bears fans. I mean, Eagles fans, and after that, it's probably Lions fans, which I'm like, where were you niggas years ago?
Oh, no, we don't get into them niggas in a minute. But
I say that to say that maybe this is just what fans do, period.
Yeah, that's what fans do, period. Like, when you run with the people that, you know, from your fan base, it looks like it's a little bit more crazy because these are the only things you look at all the time, man. But let's talk about the draft quickly. Like, we're not going to go in depth. That's what the other podcasts in our offseason series will talk about. But we are officially 30 days away from the NFL draft. The Bears have 10 picks in this year's draft. I'm going to lay them up. We got, of course, the number 9 overall pick that they got from Carolina. They got two second rounders, one they got in the Roquan Smith trade, and one they got from Carolina in the number 1 pick trade. That is pick 53 and pick 61. They got one third rounder, which is pick 64. Two fourth rounders, just pick 103, pick 133 in the Robert Quinn trade. And then they've got two fifth rounders, pick 136, pick 148, and two seventh rounders, pick 218, two pick 258. So that's 10 current draft picks. We all know last year, I think the Bears came into with like 5 or 6 draft picks, and they ended the draft with 11. So we know that Poles likes to do a lot of trading back. I would not be shocked if he does the same thing here. But the question here is, we see a lot of pro days happening, is what are the Bears going to do with the number 9 pick? The Bears were the Ohio State pro day this week, your favorite college football team. Ryan Poles brought the whole contingent with him. You know, he had Luke Getsy. Of course, Floos was there. DC, Alan Williams was there. A couple other coaches was there. Brought a whole bunch of people. They were going to watch left tackle Paris Johnson Jr. And, of course, a guy that a lot of Bears fans like, wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigma. I don't want to fuck up my man's name.
You said Jackson Smith.
Yeah, I didn't want to fuck up the Enjigma part. But a lot of talk over there. In fact, they actually interviewed JSN, and he said, man, I would love to play with the Bears. You know what I'm saying? Me and Justin did a lot of things in this 1 year here. It would be fun to do that. So my personal opinion is, before we get to this, I think that one of those two will be the Bears' number 9 draft pick. I do think it's going to be either Paris Johnson or will be JSN, because everybody's like, well, you don't really need JSN anymore because you got Chase Claypool and Darnell Mooney. Does anything about today's NFL shows you, you can never have a shortage of weapons.
Yeah.
And also, I'm of the belief, I could be wrong, I'm of the belief that either Darnell Mooney or Chase Claypool won't be here in 2024. I think this is a battle of who's going to get that contract this year between Chase and Mooney. Whoever balls out the most is the one that Poles is going to cash out. And so I would not be shocked if they go out there and get a JSN, and then you have that solidified. So one of them two walk out the door, that's your 3. I think gun ahead. Now I'm done predicting on what Ryan Poles is going to do. I feel like whatever I say Poles is going to do, he does a complete opposite. But if you ask me, I think he's going with Paris Johnson Jr. With the number 9 pick. I know he loves Braxton Jones. I know Braxton Jones has shown flashes, but I don't think that that's his long-term solution. I think one thing we see from Ryan Poles, he doesn't get attached to players. Whether he drafts or not, he doesn't get attached to players. And I do feel like he's going to get him, and maybe there's a little competition. I honestly don't care who they take at number 9. As long as it is a day 1 starter, I'm perfectly fine. But I do think it's going to be Paris Johnson. You're going to see them build up the offensive line and the defensive line with these 10 or more picks. And I do think that there's a chance that he might trade both of those second round picks to maybe move up higher if there's a person, if there's a guy that he really, really likes. What do you think about what Poles' approach is going to be this year in the draft, and what do you think he's going to do with the number 9 pick?
I wouldn't be shocked, of course, as he does some trading up and some trading down. He seems like he likes to be strategic, and he likes to find spaces and players when it becomes a prime spot for availability for certain players. I'm pretty sure Paris Johnson or JSN are probably one of the two players they'll get. That being said, I like Paris Johnson's pro day. He looked explosive. He looked quick. I really think that might be your prime need as of now. At the same time, he's a left tackle. I don't know, you know, what's the move with Braxton Jones, you know, because just because you can play tackle doesn't mean you can play both. Some have the ability to play both right and left. Some people prefer right because maybe they're better with their left foot off the line. Maybe they're better with their right foot off the line. And it just really depends on – I'm not sure what they'll do with those two. So part of me is leaning toward JSN. Part of me thinking if Jalen Carter there, they'll probably take Jalen Carter too, even regardless of his terrible combine and pro day and regardless of
– A lot of people think Detroit's going to take him. My hot take is, I bet this is with our homie Mikey. We got a lunch bet. I think the Detroit Lions are taking the quarterback. I think they're taking the quarterback. I know y'all believe in Jared Goff, but Jared Goff only got this year and next year on this contract. I think they're taking like Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. That's my hot take.
I can honestly see them taking it because on top of that, they have enough weapons and a good enough team they had with Jared Goff that they're not going to get a high pick again.
Yeah.
And you have – I think you got out of mid quarterbacks. I think you only got two good ones, but you got enough talent that they're going to
– Yeah, to me, this is a two quarterback draft. I think it's CJ and Bryce. That's it.
It's CJ and Bryce, and because of CJ's combine pro day, he's seems to have leapfrogged Bryce, which is just I love CJ. He's a Buckeye. I love Buck. I love my Buckeyes.
I do think CJ's going number one. Did you see that video of Josh McCown looking like he wanted to adopt him?
I know. I just would pick Bryce. He of course CJ I think has better physical gifts than Bryce Young, but I still think Bryce Young, his career shows you he's the better quarterback. Whatever. But I could if the Lions, I would not be shocked if the Lions got a quarterback too. And honestly, with them, even if and I think with Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, it would probably be good to sit both of them a year, just because why would I stop when I have a good thing with Jared Goff right now? And what if Jared Goff starts to tank toward? What if Jared Goff still has a little bit of that juice left, and it tanks and it folds and you have to put in Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. I think it will be a good strategy. You have to put in someone. Anthony Richardson and Will Levis will be that person. Because I don't know. I've seen plenty of quarterbacks have breakout years and then stink the rest of their career. I've seen plenty of quarterbacks who caught fire and stayed on fire. But at the same time, do you want to bet on the fact that he will stay hot? Or do you want to try to get a little bit of stability and security? So if they were to pick a quarterback, I wouldn't be shocked at all.
So I'm just letting Mikey know in advance. I'm using that money to buy tacos when I win that bet. But so you think they're going to go with JSN or Paris Johnson too?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see, man. I'm looking forward to it, man. Let's wrap up this pod with some NFC North talk. Now, Aaron Rodgers is gone. So this is the first time, shit, at least in my time as a Bears fan, where I feel like the North was a legit toss-up. Because when Brett Favre was good, it was really the Packers a lot. And when the Bears were good, they won a couple too during the Lovey era. And, of course, you had the couple Minnesota Vikings titles. Basically, everybody's won a division title in the last 30 years except for the Detroit Lions. And the Detroit Lions have not won a division title since like, what, 92 or some shit like that. But this is the first time where I feel like the division is open. Now,
Detroit won like 2013?
They made the playoffs. They didn't win a division. They have not won a division title since like 91 or 92. And they have not won a playoff game since 1991. But they made it a couple times with Stafford, but they never won a division. But this is the first time I feel like what division is legit.
Yeah, 93. Wow. This is heartbreaking when this is just Vikings and Packers littered with the Bears sprinkled in.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers. What?
Yeah, but they used to be the NFC Central before it was the NFC North.
9 years old, so that makes sense.
But this first time I feel like it's legit open, and I'm not saying that the Bears should be favorites. No, I do think that on paper, the Detroit Lions probably should be the favorite. And we're going off paper because the Vikings, they won a division last year, but they've had a lot of cap casualties. So it's not gonna be the strongest team that they had from last year. And I think the Bears is a matter of we have to see. Would it shock me if the Bears won 10 games, won a division? Hell no, it wouldn't shock me. But I still think on paper it should probably be the Detroit Lions. Yep. But let me say this to all you Detroit Lions fans talking shit. And I didn't know the Detroit Lions fans this like this. One thing that I'm happy about Aaron Rodgers, one of the multiple reasons I'm happy about Aaron Rodgers, it might be a little bit of NFC North Twitter now. Like, I didn't know there was this many Lions fans on Twitter when they were all in my mentions like a week or two ago. And I was like, I've never seen a fan base talk as much shit as they do coming off a year where they did not make the playoffs. Like, I think that's something that, well, you know, nobody understood. They did not make the playoffs.
So that Jonathan Majors news, brother?
No, what happened?
The woman recanted.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It's 79 to Hallis. It's a barber's chair thing. We're going to be off topic just a little bit. I just wanted to show Scott that. And this is the tweet I wanted to show you.
For people who are watching this on video, you definitely saw that meme. What was that, a Variety Report or?
Complex.
Oh, okay. But, yeah. So I caution them to say this. Like, I understand that they had a real entertaining season last year. You know, LeBron James is playing today against the Bulls. Of course he fucking is. Of course he fucking is. But anyway, I do think they should be the favorite. But yeah, they had a fun season last year, and we were at Ford Field last year. It felt like a playoff game. You know, it felt rocking up in there. But let's be very fucking clear. It was not a playoff game. You motherfuckers was on the couch just with the Bears and just with the Packers. So I tell you to pipe down a little bit. Bring it down, because there's one thing the Detroit Lions do. Bears can't look down on a lot of teams, right? But one team they can look down on is the Detroit fucking Lions. That's one team they can look down. And I think they have a great team. I like the signings. I think David Montgomery is going to be good for them. I like the C.J. Gardner-Johnson signing they got. I think they did a good job in free agency. Yeah. But I live in Los Angeles, and I've watched Jared Goff play a lot of football. That man is not good. He had a good season last year.
Yeah.
Well, fall for it if you want. He still helped lead the Rams to the fucking Super Bowl. And there's a reason they got rid of that motherfucker the next year. Okay? Like, so be very, very careful for all of you in Vegas betting money on the Detroit Lions. I wouldn't do it. I think they should be favorites, but let it play out. It is still fucking March.
I think Jared Goff had like a Carson Wentz streak. He came into the league. His first year was just, you know, he didn't play that many games. This next year, he broke out of nowhere for like 3,700 yards and like fucking 28 TDs, 7 interceptions. Next year, another breakout year, 4,600 yards, 32 TDs, 12 touchdowns, and then it just went. it just torpedoed down. And then he comes back this year with 29 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 4,400 yards with his best season since 2018. And so with Jared Goff, I don't know. Is he just a peaks and valleys quarterback? So I wouldn't, as much as I like watching the Lions last year, as much as I think they have a very talented team, I wouldn't put that much stock into them. And historically, I don't think Lions have anything to clown the Bears over. I mean, when I just showed everyone that graphic about who won the NFC North and how many years have they done it, if you go over this graphic and I just looked it up online, how many times do you see the Lions, Scott?
I see them no time. I see them one. I see one blue helmet there.
Look again.
Okay, that's three. So how many is that in history? Since what
year? That is since 1970.
Jesus.
1970, three. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have not been in the division
for like 20 years.
For 20 years, have the same amount of division titles. Have the same amount of division titles. So I don't think the Lions fans have much to talk about. But I know, of course, knowing Detroit people, they still love the Lions. They don't show it. A lot of them may not go to the games as much unless they're winning, but I know they love the Lions. And I'm glad that they're excited, but be careful. Be cautious.
Yeah, be very, very cautious about that. Now, Packers fans, this is the thing that shout out to the homie J.R. Bain. He told me, he said, I don't want the Packers to be trash. And I was like, what the fuck you mean? He said, I want them to just be mediocre so that they have a little bit of faith and we can crush it every time. I was like, you know what? I'm with that. I want them to be like 8-win team and they think, oh, we can win the North. And they got to play the Bears. And then they squash them. I want revenge for all those years that we were that team. And by the way, I have a message to all you TV networks out there. I used to like to schedule the Bears in Lambeau Field for shits and giggles on national TV to watch Aaron Rodgers put a foot up their ass. Schedule it again. Please. Yeah. Schedule it again. And bring it to Soldier Field. Because none of them games up here on Soldier Field, and I think that was on purpose. Bring it to Soldier Field. Bring them Campbell to Soldier Field and watch how the first time, probably ever, and the Bears have a better quarterback. So I'm looking forward to that. That is all we got for y'all today. This is episode 218. This is the second episode of our off-season series. We'll be back in a couple more weeks to begin our draft coverage.
Indeed.
Me and my brother will be in Kansas City for the draft. So all y'all, we have these barbecue, recommendations. I know Kansas City got good barbecue. Please send them our way.
Yeah.
Because I will be trying to try this food. If I'm going to be in Kansas City for three fucking days, I want to try some good food. It's not like Vegas last year. Well, it was Vegas, and I can just, oh, nigga, I know what the fuck is in Vegas. Because I done been here five times. This is Kansas City. So I want to know what's the good food out there tweet me and my brother. Maybe we'll do a vlog on some of the good food we run into while the draft. We're going to have a lot of draft content for y'all, man. So you want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, F Barbershare, Scott, F Flows, Annalini. Follow 79th The House. That's 79th A-N-D Hallis. Follow BarbersChatNet on Twitter and Instagram at BarbersChatNet. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/BarbersChatNetwork. Visit the BCNet.com, man. We'll holler at y'all. We out.
79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. This is Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning.